David takes the listeners into the world of the true mystic in this session. He shares some of the characteristics that one can look for and expect when he or she seeks to discover the enlightened state. He also shares some practical exercises that you can begin to practice that will assist you in the evolution of your consciousness. To begin this session, David shares the 9 central elements of seriously committed inner spiritual work. The first is discipline of focus without deviation.
That's one-pointedness of mind. That's a certain style of meditation. One-pointedness of mind. You focus on either an object, a thought, a feeling, or a divine figure, or a mantra, or a sound, om, a sound perhaps. And with fixity of mind, you keep your focus on it. This takes discipline. The mind wants to wander away, and the undisciplined mind, passing thoughts run away with their mind. So you start by disciplining your mind to concentrate on the point of a pin and to keep it there unwaveringly. Eventually, you can perfect it so that nothing breaks your concentration.
The second is a willingness to surrender all desires and fears to God.
That's emotionality. So you see, spiritual awareness is far beyond emotionality. So you're willing to surrender the emotion. What you're really surrendering is the payoff of the emotion. Because first there's the emotion, then there's what you get out of that emotion. And to let go of emotion, you have to let go of what is the payoff. People love to be indignant. They love to be the victim. And they wallow in it. They really play it. And you can see it in the media. The glorification of narcissism. Playing it to the hilt, milking it for all you can get out of it. The moment of fame. People do anything to achieve fame. They'll confess to crimes they didn't even commit to get on television.
The third is willingness to endure transitory anguish until the difficulty is transcended.
Spiritual work is sometimes difficult. To face one's inner feelings, there's sometimes the discovery of dismay. Like I say, playing victim. Well, you discover that you're playing victim. So you look what victimhoods you're holding on to. And then you discover to your dismay that you're milking it and that you're really wallowing in victimhood. And so that transitory dismay that you go through when you admit the truth of something to yourself is the temporary passing discomfort. You can see how selfish you are in a relationship. You can see how self-interested you are. You can see how indifferent you are. You can see how unloving you are in some areas. So it becomes somewhat painful. The pathway of inner searching can become painful. That's why some people do it like 12-step groups. Take a fearless moral inventory. So taking a fearless moral inventory, and it's often recommended that you have somebody to discuss it with, so that you don't get hooked in some negative viewpoint and can't get out of it. You'll see the Christian saints say how they went from elated states to states of despair. Oh, my beloved, how could you have deserted me? States of great anguish, see? And don't worry about the states of great anguish. Just surrender the anguish itself to God and constantly surrender all of it, see? Don't resist the anguish if it should come up, because if you're serious, it very likely will come up again. I never knew anybody who just went into a state of happiness and stayed there all the way to enlightenment. Jesus Christ sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. So there's anguish along the way. But that experientially is what goes on, and you say, this too I'm willing to go through, O Lord. Whatever this anguish may mean or whatever it signifies.
So everybody, I think, along the spiritual pathway can benefit from having a mentor at various times along the pathway that can reflect back things that would be far more difficult to handle it yourself. Not that you wouldn't get over it, but you might wallow around in it for some months of anguish and embarrassment or dismay or self-hatred.
The fourth central element of seriously committed inner spiritual work is constancy and watchfulness.
That's mindfulness, to be watchful and witnessing the phenomena going on within the mind. Many people, a lot of people, are completely oblivious of their own mode and style of thinking and behaving, etc. People can be shocked and offended all over the place by, really grossness.
And they're not even aware they're being extremely gross, completely out of place, inappropriate, undiplomatic, not thinking of the sensitivities of others. So, you know, you become aware of your shortcomings. So then you ask God in the 12-step group. First, you become aware of your shortcomings. You honestly admit them. And then you ask God for help to overcome them. So the first thing is to become self-aware. And the next thing is, having become more self-aware, you're now more motivated to try and grow. Let's say you discover that you're really prevailingly quite selfish in every single interaction. So now you ask God to help you overcome this selfishness. And entreaty, when you ask God for help, you're opening a doorway of energy that wasn't there before. If you just ignore it, nothing much happens. But if you say, "Dear God, I of myself am unable to overcome this self-interest and seems to color everything I do," there must certainly be some greater motivation that I could align with than just satisfying the personal ego. First of all, the personal ego is temporary, and when you leave the body, hopefully there's going to be something that's going to carry you further than the pits of the ego.
The fifth is moving from self-interest as a participant experiencer to that of the witness observer.
That's for people who are really seriously interested in enlightenment. That is the move. First, you identify with the mind and think, "I am that." You see yourself as the doer of all actions. And then you say, "Well, what is it that knows that?" Well, you realize it's because you're witnessing and observing it. So then you move and you see that you move to identify with the witness observer. And then from there, you move to the experiencer, which is a far more advanced and more refined thing to transcend, to stop identifying as the experiencer. However, it is relatively easy to see that that which you are is the witness and the observer. And then on an even more advanced level, you're the witness, the observer, and also the experiencer. But what you need to realize is those things are autonomous. There's no you that is witnessing. There's no you that is experiencing. There's no you that is observing. These are automatically happening of their own as a consequence of the nature of consciousness itself. It's consciousness that has all these capacities, not a personal you. So then we're talking about how to transcend identification with the ego, the pronoun of a personal self, as a primary source of volition. So the ego wants to take credit for that which is actually spontaneous and automatic. It'd be like the ego is always taking credit for the weather. "Well, I certainly did a nice job of shining today. The sun is shining without you." The ego takes, if it could get away with it, it would take credit for the sun shining. It would.